Today is Friday, March 22nd, 2024. This is Quick Start from CBN News. I'm Dan Andros. A new study shows just how bad social media is destroying young people. We'll have that top story and more on today's podcast, where we bring you news from a Christian perspective. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating if you haven't done that already. You can email us as well. Write to us. Write to our inbox, quickstartpodcast@cbn.org. Joining me to get through the news of the cray, Billy Halliwell, Trey Gones Phillips. On the focus story today, young people apparently quite miserable.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's one way to put it. I think they, we are miserable young people. But there's reasons for that, and we'll talk about that.
In general. Not all of them.
Yeah, not all of us.
Right. Increasing numbers.
I don't know if I'm considered, I'm almost 32. Am I still young? I don't really know.
But. No, you're not. No, I'm just kidding.
I love the use of us on that, the we and the us on that, until you realize maybe I'm not young anymore.
I know.
Yeah, it hits us all, Trey. Don't worry about it. You'll get through it. But all right, we'll look forward to the details on that one. On the main thing, I caught up with CBN's George Thomas, who is in Hezbollah territory, and he's got an incredible story on how Christians there are fighting back. It's really remarkable. Give you a piece of that on the main thing today. Also, don't forget to subscribe to all of our CBN News podcasts, DC Debrief with John Stolness. It's a weekly podcast. New episodes come every Friday, so you get a new one today. Rounding up the happenings in D.C. and Billy's Newsmakers, a full-length interview each and every weekday. Don't miss those. You can subscribe via the link in the description of this podcast episode. All right, all the housekeeping is out of the way. Let's head over to the news in 90 seconds. The battle over Trump's bond is underway. The Trump team's frustrated. The tight deadline after a $464 million judgment went against him in court would require a massive bond payment. And New York State Judge Arthur Engoron's ruling in Trump's civil fraud trial was made official back on February 23rd. That started a 30-day clock to make the payment after the judgment. That period set to expire on Monday, at which point New York Attorney General Letitia James could start seizing Trump's assets unless an appeals court steps in. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed Republican senators earlier this week about Israel's war with Hamas. A meeting took place amid a growing disagreement with the White House and Senate Democrats over the war's direction. The address to Republican senators came just days after Chuck Schumer called for Israelis to hold new elections to replace Netanyahu. He attempted to walk back those remarks, saying, "Well, let me say this. I gave this speech out of a real love for Israel." And an Arizona church is suing a city near the Mexican border, claiming that local officials unlawfully stopped the congregation from giving food to families in need. Those are just some of today's top headlines. You can check out those stories and more over at cbnnews.com. Billy, I know you were looking into this one, this Arizona church that's suing, and it's Gethsemane Baptist Church, and apparently this new mayor came in and they're really cracking down. The city stated that the church couldn't operate the food ministry without a, quote, conditional use permit. The church responded by saying this would be a, quote, fruitless and cost prohibitive effort. Seems like perhaps the government shouldn't be hampering these efforts by charitable organizations to try to help people in need.
Yes, and if you go to the Newsmakers podcast today, you can actually hear the attorney for this case talking all about it, giving the details, the ins and the outs. But it seems this particular case really heated up after an accident in this. The church is in a residential neighborhood, and so one of the trucks hit a gate apparently in that neighborhood, had to be replaced, and then the residents reportedly started complaining that the church was bringing these big trucks in, and so it became this issue of this residential rule that you can't have trucks in there. But of course, the allegation is that this is not being applied fairly to the church, that others are able to do deliveries and nobody's complaining. So a lot to really unpack there. But the big thing is this church has been doing this for 25 years, right? Since 1999. And there are a lot of people in need, not just on our side of the border. People from Mexico come, pick the food up and bring it back. I mean, they're providing hundreds of meals every time they do an outreach, and they have stopped doing outreach entirely until this resolves.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think this is just a example of no good deed goes unpunished. It's interesting that you have the attorney that's handling the case on Newsmakers. I actually haven't listened to that interview, so I'm interested to go listen to that full interview too to see exactly what they're saying, what the land lay of the land looks like with that case. But it's just wild to me that there are so many people in need, especially in border cities like that. Democrats, Republicans, everybody wants this issue to be addressed. And there's a church there who's doing something that's not costing the government anything, but still ends up being shut down. I think this is just bureaucracy run amok, which is what we see oftentimes when bureaucracy gets involved.
Yeah. I mean, you'd like to just see some common sense here where maybe you talk right. to the group and you say, hey, can you not do X, Y, and Z? It would really help us right. out dealing with the neighborhoods, et cetera, instead of just, you know, you need a permit, because I don't see how a permit solves anything. All that does is just make them pay extra money to the government and to get permission. And then you're still whatever issues you're complaining yeah. about, right? You're still gonna have the same issue.
Well, and one last thing about this, the neighborhood might be complaining. That might be what's going on here. The neighbors that are around the church because the trucks are coming in. I don't know. But the other issue is that they were allegedly storing food with the town. The town was allowing them to store food. And that also was rescinded, the storage of the food. And so that's another piece of the puzzle. I did reach out to the mayor's office and I've heard nothing back so far.
Yeah, this is the sort of thing when if it's ever reversed in some way, you know, the government would be charged with hating hungry people who are in need and, you know, getting slandered in all kinds of ways. Well, why do they just hate all these people? They're taking this food away. Yet somehow they always seem to go unscathed in the headlines on this. And it's the church that's bearing the brunt of this. So make sure you check out, like Billy said, the interview there, get more details over on the Newsmakers podcast. Well, right now we're going to head over to the focus story right now. As I said at the top there, young people, which does not include Trey anymore, apparently, are miserable. So in reality, here is what's going on. The U.S. happiness score has dropped, and apparently it's driven by young people. So what are the numbers showing?
Yeah, so according to data that was collected for the World Happiness Report from the Gallup World Poll, and this is a survey that's conducted every year, America has slipped from the 15th happiest country in 2023 to the 23rd happiest country this year. I think most dramatically, it was the fact that younger Americans, those 30 years old and younger, so I barely make the cut there. I'm not considered young anymore, according to this survey. They dropped to number 62 out of 143 countries. So of all the countries where that demographic specifically was polled, young Americans, 30 years and younger, fell all the way down to the 62nd spot. But U.S. adults who are 60 years and older in the United States, they ranked 10th overall across the world. So older adults are doing pretty good. Younger adults, not so much.
What's driving the decline in happiness here at home?
Well, I think there's a lot of factors. The economy's not great. Many younger Americans were starting their careers, finishing schooling during the pandemic, which was obviously a terrible time to be doing that, to go through those big transitions. Younger Americans in their early 30s, late 20s are trying to buy homes, and because of the economy, they're not able to do that. So there's a lot of those economic and societal factors. But I think one huge contributor is social media. So I was looking at some studies and other numbers about social media. So roughly 93% of Gen Zers are using social media, which social media use has been linked in study after study to increased anxiety, depression, suicidal ideation, and really just general dissatisfaction with life. But another big thing is TikTok in general. I think TikTok is a huge problem. Most young people are using TikTok. It's owned by China, and the algorithms, this was fascinating to me, but the algorithms in the US are different from the algorithms that are used elsewhere around the world. The app was designed by design to push polarizing and divisive content here at home. There was a survey done last year of preteens. It was conducted both in China and in the United States, and the participants were asked the same question. They were asked, what's the most aspirational career that you want to have? And kids in the US said that their number one career goal is to become social media influencers. In China, kids said that they want to become astronauts as their top choice. Obviously, we're comparing a communist country to a free country, so that's a factor there, of course. But the algorithms there are different. In China, they're pushing educational and aspirational videos, while the algorithms here in the US push viral content that's often divisive and drives social media addiction. So I think that's a huge factor. And then the last factor, Dan, that I'll note is the decline in marriage. I think that's a big one we've talked about before. Last year, Gallup surveyed people from 142 countries and territories and found that about a quarter, 24% of the world is very or fairly lonely. Marriage in the U.S. has been declining for years. It's declined 60% since the 70s. And we know that God said in Genesis that it's not good for man to be alone. He created us to be in relationship. But I think the one positive thing to note too is that according to new data from the CDC, if we want to trust the CDC, is that marriage rates in the US are ticking up for the first time in years, and the divorce rate is actually falling. Marriages have grown from 5.1 per 1,000 in 2020 to 6.2 per 1,000 in 2022. So it's trending in the right direction, but I think all of those things are factors as far as why younger people are unhappy.
Yeah. And not to put on my tinfoil hat here, but it does feel like when you see things like the algorithm being different and those outcomes, however trustworthy they are, that we can judge those things, you can't help but notice the shift in just here at home watching it, the shift in how people view America, how they view things like the nuclear family and traditional marriage and Christianity. All these things have flipped, and you can't help but think our enemies around the world who want to see America knocked down for whatever reason, whether they're anti-Western democracy or capitalism or just anti-Christian, whatever the case might be, you can't help but think, all right, they knew they weren't going to be able to overpower us militarily or any other way, and it just had to happen from within. And whether it was intentional or not, these social media, it certainly seems to be fueling that fire. And it's the outcomes, the views are different. I mean, they're just different than they were. I mean, that is the fact on the ground. And I don't think there's any arguing that. But where do we rank, Trey? Did it go into more detail on the lists of countries and where they all rank in the happiness scale, the other ones?
Yeah, so Finland has taken the number one spot again for 7 years in a row. They have been the happiest people in the world. So Finland is number one, and then Denmark and Iceland and Sweden. So apparently living in Scandinavia, you would be a very happy person. Those are where all the happy people are. And I was just in Sweden, and
was it happy?
That checks out. Yeah, they all seem pretty happy. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny because my wife and daughter last year went to Italy and to France quickly on a senior trip. And the reports from Europe where the people in Italy were apparently nicer than the ones in France, but France apparently not so nice. So maybe they're high up. Where do they rank on the happiness scale? Are they on there? They clock in anywhere?
I don't know. I'm sure they're on the list, but I don't have it pulled up in front of me right now. I don't know where they would rank.
I'm just trying to feel better about America here. I'm just trying to find someone who's worse.
Yeah, there are people that are worse, but we're pretty low on the list. We went from 15 to 23 in a matter of a year. Not that great.
Yeah,
keep
kicking God out and see how much lower it gets.
Right.
See how well everything goes. Now someone countered that some of those Scandinavian countries are some of the most atheistic countries, which is interesting. That's a whole other podcast, right, of what's actually going on.
I had
on
that same thought. I mean, what is it? And how are they judging? I wonder what the metrics are on happiness here, right? Because I don't know if you've got a bunch of stuff and you're I got a house and I got a car and it's great. Yeah, I'm happy. Like, I mean, what are they judging it by? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they're diving into that, but that would be interesting to see, because if we're all here and we're Christians and miserable, we're doing something wrong.
Yeah that's
Are we actually living as Christians is the question. And that points to what you were just saying too. Yeah. The measure of happiness is important, because part of you wonders, is it based on, you know, self-perception? Like how do those metrics all work out? But the point is, we need to make some changes for America to be happier. Yeah. I think that's
I think getting off TikTok would be a step in the right direction. Yeah. Getting off social media. I don't want to target one app in particular, just less social media would be good.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Good general assessment. I mean, I'm going through that, as Trey, we talked about in our upcoming episode here, Faith versus Culture, with Corey Robertson, about social media and just the dangers of that. And especially for young impressionable minds, and letting them scroll endless hours on it, it's starting to prove out as to not be a recipe for success. But appreciate you bringing that one, putting it on our radar today, Trey. We are going to head over to the main thing now. And George Thomas is in southern Lebanon, and actually he's in the areas that are controlled by Hezbollah, and reporting about what's going on in these small Lebanese villages. Some of them are Christian villages. It's really remarkable how they're responding while being quite literally caught in the crossfire. Part of that conversation here in that live stream from earlier this week is today's main thing.
In some of these Christian enclaves, right, they don't necessarily have, I mean, they do have sort of like a local civilian police force that patrols the villages. We're not talking a town, these are villages. These are small, you know, very, very small communities. And so a couple of recently, I'm not quite sure when, but very recently, Hezbollah fighters decided that they wanted to come into the Christian enclave and fire off their weapons into Israel, fire off their rockets into Israel, because they knew that Israel would then target the Christian enclave. Well, some Christians, local civilians, saw this happening and said, excuse me? No, you're not going to do that. Go take your weapons to your community, to your Shia village. Don't come to our village. We do not want you. And so there is a history, a very long history, of Lebanese Christians over the last 50 years. They are fierce warriors. They are. And they, even though their numbers are small, guys, they absolutely will defend their land, their territory, their ancestral home. They will lose their life in order to do that. And so it's very brave on them, for sure. They're outnumbered. They, in essence, are swimming in the sea of Hezbollah. But yet they will protect their village with everything they have. And so various fighters, Hezbollah fighters, have, since this conflict started, tried to use these various Christian enclaves in order to fire off their rockets. In some cases, they have. In other cases, the local community turns around and says, nope, no, you're not going to do that here in my community. Take your rockets somewhere else. The other thing also to keep in mind, quickly to keep in mind is that, you know, when Israel was in occupation of South Lebanon, pretty much all the way, if you look at a map of Lebanon, all the way to Jenin, right, all the way to Jenin, was all occupied by Israel. It was all under Israeli occupation. So Israel knows every inch of this land. It knows where the Shia villages are. It knows where the Sunni villages are. It knows where the Christian villages are. And historically, Christians, the Lebanese Christians, have had a very good relationship with the Israelis. And they've had a very good, they've done trade. There is, you know, strong bond between the two, just because they both want to live in peace. They want to succeed. They want to have a prosperous region. So the Israelis know these very communities, very, very well. And so they have not necessarily targeted Christian communities. They've not, in fact, since October 7th. And obviously the Christians of South Lebanon are very, very grateful for that. But they have to keep a very close eye. They've got to keep watch that if this thing escalates, they could be facing a whole different scenario if that happens. And obviously many of them are praying that that doesn't happen.
That's an incredible tidbit about these Christians there. I think people don't, you just generally, your mind doesn't go to Christians when you think of places like Lebanon and Syria and areas like that. And so when you think about what they're dealing with and you hear a story like that, that they are, because that is a classic sort of Hamas tactic, right? Like, let's put all of the missiles into schools and hospitals, and they don't care about those people. When they get shot back, they'll say, look at Israel and how awful they are for shooting at a hospital. So, and we saw that in the headlines play out. So that is clearly a Hamas tactic, and it's incredible to hear these people fighting back, these Christians. So you've been talking to some of these Christians in this area that you're at. What are they saying?
Well, I mean, again, they just bemoan the fact, Dan, that that they're having to live like this. You know, again, they say they've been doing this for the last 50 years, since 1975, and that's a long time to have to live under these conditions. And again, you know, do bear with me. It's a windy day. We've had a lot of fog. We've had a lot of rain. And in fact, I was talking to one person when I made the comment. I said it was a very quiet night. I slept very deeply last night. And he said, yeah, but that's actually not good news either, because it's, again, like one of the viewers said, it's like the calm before the storm again, because they've not had a lot of good, clear skies today. There's been a lot of clouds, a lot of fog covering up a lot of these areas, and it changes. One, as you probably saw from the screen, just a few minutes ago before the sun was shining, now it's overcast, and you can see the clouds continue to roll in. So it's again, it's that unpredictable nature of the weather here in South Lebanon. It's very lush, very hilly, very green. This is the rainy season as well that's happening. But again, like the Christians are, you know, they're just sort of as exasperated, guys. I mean, they really are. Dan, they're just like, will this ever end? Can we just have some peace of mind, this part of South Lebanon, constantly in a state of flux, constantly on the edge, constantly hearing explosions and having to deal with this. But yet so many of them choose to stay here, because this is their ancestral home. They don't want to go, to go anywhere else. Where can they go? And again, who would want to leave this piece of real estate? It's so beautiful in the southern part of Lebanon. Very, very lush, very, very beautiful. And again, it's been a contested area for such a long time. So the reason I've come here is to help people understand that in the middle of this conflict, you have Christians, you have people of faith who don't want war, who want to live in peace with their fellow brethren, who want to live in peace with the Shia Muslims, with the Sunni Muslims. They don't want war. They're not trying to enlarge their territory. They just want to live in peace and harmony. And so that's what they've been asking for. That's what they've been hoping for. But sadly, here we are again, a conflict with Hezbollah and Israel. Just praying that it doesn't escalate into a full blown war. Many people have said, "Listen, what does the conflict with Hamas and Israel have to do with us? We are another country. Leave us alone." That's a sentiment I keep hearing, especially amongst the Christians. Leave us alone. This is between Israel and Hamas. Lebanon has got nothing to do with this. This does not involve us. And that's why you had this top patriarch of the Maronite Church pose this question to Hezbollah and to the leaders of the Shia Muslim community. You didn't ask us. You are bringing us into a war that we did not ask for. We want peace. We want peace within our territory. We want peace with Israel. Don't take us into this conflict. It would be hell. It would be difficult. Don't you remember what happened in 2006? Don't you remember what happened in the 80s, in 1975? Do we want the same thing again? Obviously, the Christians are saying, no, we don't want this. And so this is the predicament that the Christians of South Lebanon find themselves in.
All right, if you want to check out that amazing report from George Thomas, a full conversation we had, you can do so in the link in the description of this podcast down below. I will leave it in there for you to check it out. All right, that's going to leave us with time on this Friday edition of the Quick Start Podcast for one last thing.
We're looking at 1 Peter 2:15 today. It says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people."
Yeah, makes me think of that story with the people trying to feed people in need, and then they're getting harassed by all these other people for trying to do good. And so, it looks foolish from the outside for the ones fighting.
Yep, shut them down by doing good. I love that.
All right, good spot to leave it here on the Quick Start Podcast on this Friday. As always, get over to cbnnews.com and faithwire.com for more news from a Christian perspective. If you haven't already, sign up and follow the DCD Brief podcast and also Billy's Newsmakers podcast as well. All right, Lord willing, and that creek don't rise on us. We'll be back here with more on Monday. God bless. Have a fantastic weekend.